Reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus' dead body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. They were saying to each other, "Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had already been rolled away, and it was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right side, and they were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He isn't here. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples, especially Peter, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you." Overcome with terror and dread, they fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Here ends the reading.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, the actions of our lives this coming week, all be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. It was a Monday morning after Palm Sunday. The pastor of this large church in a county seat town usually took Mondays off. But he was struggling to come up with a new idea for his Easter sermon. He'd be given a lot of ideas by the members of the church. Easter should be happy, tell lots of jokes. Tell those folks that only come twice a year to send more money. Make sure your sermon will do justice to all the new paint and decorations in the sanctuary. What do you say to all the good people about Jesus' resurrection that will even come close to the truth? Some of the people he would be preaching to had probably listened to 60 Easter sermons, counting sunrises, maybe over 100. And yet they still don't seem to get it, the true significance of what the resurrection means. What can you possibly say that will help people understand what happened on that special morning almost 2,000 years ago? The one event that changed the world forever. And flowers, and new paint, and polished pews, and eggs, and jokes simply aren't enough to convey that. And Bill Haney called the church, "Pastor, I'm not sure whether the Sunday School is doing their Easter pageant this year, but I've got 15 new lambs in my flock as of last night. You want me to bring one on Sunday for the parade?" And a wild idea started to take hold of the pastor, a really wild and crazy idea. And without telling Bill that there was no parade that week, he said, "Bring a lamb to the church office just before the first service." Easter morning arrived in all its splendor, and true to the word, the worship committee had everything beautifully arranged. No one could remember the church looking more festive and beautiful. Flowers were everywhere. The sunlight streaming through the windows sparkled and gleamed on the cross. Even the 30-voice choir in their new robes looked especially crisp as they lined up outside the sanctuary. People said that the organist had picked the most festive prelude music in a long time. Everyone was ready to begin the procession with shouts of "He is risen." except the pastor was nowhere to be seen. And finally, the choir director ran to the pastor's office and knocked on the door. "Pastor, it's time for the service. Is something wrong?" "No, no. Tell everyone to get going. I'll be there right away," pastor called through the closed door. The procession began with shouts of "He has risen." Just as the last choir member turned the corner, out of the office dashed the pastor. Except he wasn't alone. As he marched up to the altar next to the associate pastor, in his arms he carried one of Bill Haney's little lambs. And what made some people in the congregation gasp with surprise was that the pastor had put a great big rubber apron over his white gold brocade robe. The Elder Guild couldn't believe their eyes. The kids were all oohing and aahing at the side of the lamb. And many of the good parishioners didn't know what to say or think or whether they should even continue singing the hymn. And they had a freestanding altar, and the pastor went up behind it. And he said, "I know this is a bit unusual, or maybe a lot unusual, but I want you to all sit down for a minute." And while holding the lamb in one hand, he pushed the candles and the flowers off to the side, and he took an old rug out from under the apron and stuck it on the altar, and then he put the lamb down on it. And he reached in under his robe, and he pulled out a big butcher knife and lifted it high up his head to strike the lamb. And as the congregation gasped, and mothers and fathers could be seen covering the eyes of their children, the pastor looked up, knife poised in the air, and shouted, "Aren't you glad we don't have to do this anymore?" Two 2,000 years ago, people like you and me brought lambs to the temple and slaughtered them, so that an angry God would be appeased for all the sins we had committed. Aren't you glad we don't have to do that anymore? Because almost 2,000 years ago, on a morning like this, when God said, "No more. No more death, no more evil, and all that is corrupt in the world. Aren't you glad we don't have to do this anymore?" Because on a morning like this, three women went to a tomb to anoint the body of a beloved friend, and instead found an empty tomb. The one who had been dead had done battle with the devil and lived so that we also can live. Aren't you glad we don't have to do that anymore? The church was silent. There were a few tears. A mom or dad could be seen protectively holding their child, wondering what would happen next. The lamb was returned to Bill Haney. The flowers we have here will last a season if we take care of them. Easter eggs are indeed a symbol of new life. But the flowers will eventually fade and pass on. And new life isn't enough. Easter is old life made new. Death made into life. Easter is broken relationships redeemed. Grief forgiven. Death sentenced to death. Despair banished. Depression turned into hope. And all persons forgiven, loved, and cared for. Our old lives have been made new on Easter morning. Have you ever stopped to think what life would be like if there was no Easter morning? We would live in fear, not just of evil and violence in the streets, but even of God. Because we would never be quite sure whether what we did or didn't do would be enough to save us from God's wrath. and destruction. And we would worry whether God would abandon us. And we'd come with our sacrifices. And then I would certainly exhort all of you to be concerned for your souls and to worry. Worry about your salvation. But because of Easter, we don't have to do that anymore. All we do is say, welcome. Welcome, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the empty tomb. Welcome to Easter. Welcome to life everlasting. Welcome to God's kingdom. Of course, it isn't quite that simple. If you would be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, then you must live the life that Jesus lived, to forgive and love our brothers and sisters both here and around the world, and to be in service to the world he died to save. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you for giving your Son to save us from ourselves. Thank you for raising him from the dead. Thank you for loving us, even when we're not worthy of that love. Thank you. Thank you for Easter. Amen. And now may the grace of God, the love that surrounds us on Easter, and the hope of life to come fill us with joy and happiness and send us out to share this with all we meet. Amen.